Picture this. You're in the garage, hands covered in grease, just finished tuning up your engine with a part you found on eBay, and you realize, you know what? I could also use new brakes. So where do you go next? Back to eBay. You can find anything there. It's unreal. Wipers, headlights, even cold air intakes, it's all there. And you've got eBay Guaranteed Fit. You order a part, and if it doesn't fit, send it back. Simple as that. Look, DIY fixes can be major. Doesn't matter if it's just maintenance or a major mod. You got it, especially when things are guaranteed to fit. So when you dive into your next car project, start with eBay. All the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things people love.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh boy, I'm really excited about this episode of TFL Talking Trucks podcast because, Nathan, I get to tell you about my personal truck purchase and sale experience.
Finally, ladies and gentlemen, Andre decides to buy that Volkswagen pickup truck we've been hearing about for so many years.
The Amarok?
Yeah.
No, I did not buy the Amarok. But
damn it.
On this episode, dude, I really want to... So I didn't get a chance yet. We published the video, right? So
right.
I published my kind of long-term review and update and discussion about my Chevy Colorado Trail Boss. That's already published. I also published a video about... I went to the dealership to pick out my new truck and trade in my old truck, which is the Colorado. And we already published that too. But I didn't get a chance to... Well, first of all, talk to you about this, but also kind of discuss some of the behind the scenes, you know, some of the decision-making process that had to take place.
Okay, so how long are you going to keep everybody in the dark about your new truck?
It's this. Hold on, let me... If you're watching us on TFL Talk channel, you'll be able to see some of the imagery. If you're just listening to us, the image I'm showing you, bam! It's... a 2019 V8 powered Toyota Tundra TRD Pro. I bought a Pro.
That color is amazing, dude.
Yes.
There's so many questions I have. There are so many questions that I have. Okay, that's a snorkel, right? I mean, I'm looking at this on a relatively small screen.
Yeah, it is a snorkel.
That is a snorkel.
It is a snorkel, and it's also Voodoo Blue. So... it was kind of a process, right? But wait a minute. I want to start with why I'm selling my Colorado, right? So do you want
to... and then maybe switch eventually over to why you bought a used Tundra with a V8 as opposed to the twin turbocharged V6 that now exists.
Yeah, so we should discuss all of that.
Yes.
We should. And also, if you are watching our coverage, we already did our SEMA coverage, right? So thank you guys for joining us for that. It was a lot of work as always. And now we're just kind of taking a breath, you know, after our SEMA coverage and discussing some, you know, solid truck stuff. So dude, it's been about a year and a half, about what, 18 or 19 months that I've had my Chevy Colorado Trail Boss. I did a video about it. So if you want to see a little bit more detail, if you want to watch some of the stuff, check out oldtfl.com or tfltruck.com and you'll see that. But dude, in the end, my family and I, we went just in October, we went to Albuquerque, right? Which we often do because that's where my wife's family is from.
Right.
And this truck was a little bit too small for our family. The Colorado was just too small.
Considering that one of your kids is like 6'1", and the other one's probably about 5'9" already, and they're not done growing yet. And you're stupid tall, and your wife is really tall too. So, yeah, I would say a mid-sized truck is probably not what you need for a tall family.
Exactly. And I really purchased a mid-size truck, the Chevy Colorado. First of all, it was all new, right? In 2023, I believe I was one of the first people to take possession of a Chevy Colorado, the new version. That was April of 2023. I've never owned a mid-size pickup truck before in my life. I've had some heavy-duty ones, I had some full-size ones, I had some SUVs, but I've never owned a mid-size pickup. So I wanted to do that for that reason. I chose a crazy color because I knew it would be on video once in a while, right? So that was a controversy in itself. And actually, my son didn't like that color. So that plays into it, right? I mean, it's a family vehicle, and if everybody doesn't like it, I mean, it's kind of tough.
Hey, podcast listeners and TFL Talk viewers. I wanted to take a minute to talk to you about a quick and simple way to sell your car or truck with the help of our new partner, HiRoad. With HiRoad's online portal, you enter your vehicle's VIN number or plate, mileage, and zip code, and you'll get competing offers from several qualified dealers in your area within seconds. You pick the best deal offered and follow through with the dealer to sell your vehicle. No more managing scammy emails from buyers on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. No more time wasted on no-show buyers. No bait and switch with a "will you take a check" excuse from sketchy buyers. Now keep in mind, these offers will be for trade-in values of your vehicle. If you want to go through the hassle of getting more for your vehicle, that's up to you. But if you want to sell your vehicle hassle-free and fast, go to tfltruck.com and click Sell Your Truck in the navigation menu. Or click on the HiRoad ad at the bottom of the website if you're on mobile, or click on the column if you're on a desktop. HiRoad makes it easy, and we like easy.
Yeah, I hear you. I've been in that same predicament.
And it's been kind of a roller coaster, right? So my Chevy Colorado ownership was a bit of a roller coaster. I loved a lot of it, and I also didn't like some of it.
Well, to recap, at least the very beginning of your ownership, I mean, you were super jazzed, and at the time, it was so unique looking, and you knew I was 100% for that color, despite what your son said. But I would say that that vehicle had some teething issues within the first, say, 6 months. Am I correct?
Yeah, it did. And I thought most of these issues, and you know what they say, never buy the first year of a vehicle. But
We
if
say that
everybody,
too.
yes. And but if everybody followed that rule, we would sell zero vehicles. The
Yeah, I know,
industry.
but this, see, there's a lot of people who are impatient, like you and Roman, who always buy the first
Yeah. And I love a lot of that because I love to be, I love technology. I love kind of new stuff. That's why I have, the new phones, right? And the new devices and all this stuff. And that's why I also got this Chevy Colorado. But you're right, it did have a few software issues. So the first issue I had, I think my gauge cluster went black one day. Remember this?
Yes, I do.
I came into the office and I was like, all right, my truck is on, but the gauge cluster, my odometer, my speedometer, everything was just dark.
Now it's an 11.3-inch screen.
Yeah, so no. So I bought a Trail Bus, which is the basic truck, right? So it had 11.3 in the middle, in the
Yeah.
center of the vehicle, but my gauge cluster was just an 8. So it had a smaller
Okay, so it's a
screen.
small one. Yeah, I got you.
So it was the smaller screen that was an issue this time. And what I ended up doing was I unplugged the 12 volt battery, right? I basically tried to reboot the truck and it worked. It came back to life and the screen started working.
Did that ever happen again?
No. It was a weird one-time thing. But then I think a few weeks down the road, I walk out to my truck. I think it was a Saturday. It was at home. And the clicker doesn't work, the door doesn't open, the battery is completely dead, and I'm like, oh boy, why is the battery off? Why is it dead? And turns out it ended up being that the truck has over-the-air updates. It was trying to update itself. It got stuck in the middle. It tried to update itself over and over and over again. and ended up kind of draining its battery, and it kind of died.
And this was more than a one day issue, if I recall.
Exactly. It took me, because I was puzzled. What scared me the most about that incident is that I used to be a software engineer in my previous life. And what
Right.
scared me is, like, I was thinking in my mind, what if it was in the middle of updating itself and something went bad? What state is the truck in, right? What if I try to reboot it and it's in a bad position in the software, right? And what if it never comes to life? That's what I was thinking. Turned out charging the battery helped, and the truck came back to life. And I took it to the dealership just in case. I drove it there just in case, and they said everything was fine. So that software version was fixed. But once again, it was annoying to have these problems.
Oh, and you're not done.
No. Well, we haven't mentioned cruise control yet. We'll talk about that later. But
That's not the truck's fault, my friend.
no, that was my fault. But then my rear camera broke. I didn't have my rear view camera.
For a long ass time. I'm sorry, but this is out of all the issues that you had, this is the one that absolutely drives me up the wall. Go ahead.
Well, you're right. I mean, okay, so here we can step back and say, well, back in my day, no car or truck had a reverse camera, right? So why are you crying, Andre, right? You could say about, your reverse camera not working.
It's a federally mandated requirement of all vehicles having a reverse camera. It's considered a safety feature that's required. As such, if you don't have it, then it's incumbent upon the automaker to immediately fix it. That's the bottom line. That's the rule.
Yeah, exactly. You're absolutely right. I think that regulation came into life like 2015, right?
Yeah, around that time, yes.
It's been a long time already. I mean, it's been like 9 years. So that's why even the most affordable economy car has a reverse camera, right? That's why all this exists. And in a truck like this, which is lifted from the factory, right? It's riding on beefy tires. It's a little bit taller. It's 4x4. It's meant to go off-road. Visibility is kind of poor, right, already, because it's kind of sitting up high. So I've been relying on reverse cameras for quite some time because it's really nice to just, when parking, to back in your spot and you using your mirrors, but the mirrors are kind of small, and the reverse camera really helps, at least me. And not having it was a big deal. And it took the dealership a while to actually fix that issue or find the root cause. And when they did find it, what, a couple of weeks later, I had to go back and forth between the dealer and my house. It was a hardware problem. It was the actual cable, the cable that sends the video signal. That was the problem.
It wasn't damaged by you. This was something that was a damaged component from the manufacturer.
Yeah, and I don't know what it was. It was a faulty component to begin with. Maybe it wasn't properly mounted originally. I have no idea, but I think it's actually protected. It's not something you could rip out off-road, right? So I think it's actually kind of within the frame or some, it's routed in a good way, but they finally fixed it. But it took some time, and it was once again quite annoying.
I think it was months altogether from beginning to end. Am I correct?
Yeah, it was months. Because
Yeah, that's what.
I had to go back and forth between the dealer and to try to figure that out.
Right. So, bottom line is that there were some teething problems. Now, before I sound like I'm going to bash the hell out of the truck, I got to tell you, I've taken that vehicle and its cousins off road. We've driven on road with it. We've been able to check out the power it has. Its overall capability, maneuverability, and I love about 90% of that truck. I really, truly do. I'm actually kind of sad that you got rid of it, but it makes total sense at the same time. So I just wanted to put that out there that mechanically, I think it's fantastic, but big surprise, the gremlins all seem to reside within the technical components that have been added to the truck, which is a bit of a shame because this isn't the only automaker that has these issues. We can cover that another time.
Yeah, totally. And like you said, Well, like I said, it's been a roller coaster, right? I've loved the certain aspects of this truck too. First of all, it's really good off-road. I mean, it doesn't have front or rear locking differentials. It does have a G80, which is basically a mechanical locking differential that works by itself. And GM has used it for decades, right? It's a device that works. It's a little bit interesting, right? Because it's kind of comes on suddenly, and we've experienced that many times.
It's a little inconsistent. I know some GM fans are like, oh, no, it's totally consistent. It takes a little bit of slippage in order for it to actually engage and go, but it does every time. It's just a question of how much power is being applied, how slippery the surface is. There's a lot of variables before what those G80s kick in, but they work. And that's Certainly. Kind of the bottom line there. They work. You don't have an open rear diff per se. It is a mechanical locker, but it's just not exactly as simple as some of those that you flip a switch and boom, you've got your rear unlocked.
Exactly. I also upgraded the tires, and this was done at the factory. I got Goodyear Wrangler Territory MTs, quite beefy. You and I, you know, have tested these tires together, and I have nothing bad to say about the tires. I drove them through the winter time, even on snow and ice. I had an oval drive component in my transfer case, dude, which is rare for a base vehicle like this, right? Because it was quite affordable in the scheme of things of pickup trucks. But I had oval drive. I had 4-bit oval drive high, 4-wheel drive low, been really solid. The engine's been pretty powerful. I've towed my boat with it. I have a 6,000-pound ski boat. And
I think your towing is, what, 700 or 7,000 and change?
Yeah, 7,700 pounds is the rating. And also, dude, 1,500 pounds of payload in this little truck. So, yeah.
Really good.
A lot of good stuff about it. It never failed. Actually, it won when Mr. Truck and I tested it on the iGauntlet. It won our comparison for iGauntlet towing, which is the world's toughest towing test. So,
right.
Really great stuff. But I was never quite happy. I was happy with the power the engine provided, 310 horsepower, 430 pound-feet of torque, because I got it to that high output version of it, right?
Right.
But I never was a fan of its sound.
Picture this. You're in the garage, hands covered in grease, just finished tuning up your engine with a part you found on eBay, and you realize, you know what? I could also use new brakes. So where do you go next? Back to eBay. You can find anything there. It's unreal. Wipers, headlights, even cold air intakes, it's all there. And you've got eBay Guaranteed Fit. You order a part, and if it doesn't fit, send it back. Simple as that. Look, DIY fixes can be major. Doesn't matter if it's just maintenance or a major mod. You got it. Especially when things are guaranteed to fit. So when you dive into your next car project, start with eBay. All the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things people love.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound. Limit one with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yes, sometimes you could hear the turbocharger blow off valve or the turbocharger kind of spilling up and blowing off some steam. But it wasn't pleasing exhaust note ever. I just didn't like it.
No, it sounds like a Cuisinart, to be honest with you. It sounds like a blender. Okay, so aside from that, though, I think that you could say your experience was about 85% positive with that vehicle. Would that be about right?
Yeah, I agree. And what I loved initially about it is I got it for like under $41,000, right? When I initially purchased it. And you might be typing comments right now, oh my God, $40,000, it's insane. And why is cruise control an option? And why is it not standard?
Oh yeah, we haven't covered that part yet, have we?
You could talk about many of these things, but dude, at the end of the day, I think that was a big value. I mean, like I said, you have a really capable transfer case and four-wheel drive system. You have great tires. You have good power from this engine. A lot of payload, a lot of towing. So, but I'm an enthusiast, right? I'm not a regular I'm not a person who just buys a vehicle for conveyance, right? I really want something extra from the vehicle.
I can understand that. Considering it's an interesting thing that you bought yours at around 42, and I bought my Santa Cruz around 32. So the step up to your truck, which is essentially $10,000 more, I would say was absolutely worth it. That is a full-on truck as opposed to a car with a bed, which is what I had. And your capacity, your towing is incredible. It's around best in class. I think it is best in class, at least for a vehicle in that thing. And its off-road capability was quite good. It was relatively frugal, if I recall, but I mean, it wasn't exactly, I don't think it broke any records. But altogether, I think that you managed to buy a pretty good vehicle for the money. Although, I'm going to tell you, that whole thing about you forgetting or omitting cruise control is never going to go away. It will follow you until your last days.
I think I my headstone might say that, actually, on my...
Here lies a man who forgot to check off the box that says cruise control.
Yes. Actually, it works on many levels. I can kind of see it where no cruise control, just three words, no cruise control. And I think it could work on many, many levels. But you know what happened in 2025 model year, which is
what
on
happened?
Sale now? Cruise control is now standard.
That is all because of Andre, ladies and gentlemen. Because of all the I almost guarantee the fact that the GM guys who were probably laughing at first realized they were getting such pushback about this. And the fact is that almost every other automaker in this class offers cruise control standard. And they probably I call them cheapskates, and they probably were like, oh, okay, I guess we'll have to include it. Oh, darn. And because of that, they probably charged the consumer even a little bit more.
There you have it. So I think we're helping, right? We're helping everybody.
In our own unique way. So walk us through what led to going from this to a used Toyota Tundra.
Okay. So, all right, we're switching gears. So I switched the image, right? So here you go. Now you could see the Tundra poking out here behind me on the screen. And all right, so here's my thought process initially, right? So first of all, like we said, midsize truck is too small, right? So I was like, I want to buy a new pickup truck, and I've had SUVs before, and everything like the H2, right? So I bought the Hummer H2 several years back from the company when TFL Studios was done with it. I purchased it for myself, and I like the H2 because it's kind of big and bold and very American. But I missed just having a bed where you could throw some, I don't know, something dirty or, carry some mulch, or I do some landscaping on one of the properties, and putting a lawnmower in the back, or trimmings. I missed having the bed, right? So I knew I really wanted the pickup truck. Also the one that can tow, right? Those are big things because I do have the ski boat, right? I need to move around. And I knew I needed a full-size truck, right? A lot of people, a lot of viewers and listeners out there, they wanted me to buy a heavy duty, right? And I've seen those comments, right? Because I used to have, when we started TFL truck, right? I had a Duramax.
Yes, you did. You loved it.
Yeah. Remember, I put the big exhaust pipe on it. It was really loud. Not too loud, but quite loud.
Remember we flashed that thing and we did some other stupid stuff with it as well?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
I also remember changing injectors on that diesel, which cost me, I think, $3,400 just to replace 8 injectors on that.
That was like, 15 years ago or something? Or no, that was about 10 years ago.
Well, yeah, it was a 2002 Silverado 2500. And I had like 175,000 miles on it or something like that. And I think, I was kind of bad to the truck because I ran it out of fuel once. And I think that really didn't help my injectors, really to remain working properly. So it was once again my fault. But It was a lot of money to repair the diesel. And that's kind of the theme, right? When you're buying a diesel heavy-duty pickup truck, it's super great. It's very capable, yeah. Very big. It's very efficient. But maintenance on those trucks can be quite high.
Extremely expensive. In addition to the fact that, honestly, at the time, you really didn't need a heavy-duty truck. And I know the viewers aren't going to want to hear this, but you don't really need one now. The maximum that you tow is about 6,000 pounds. You know, and loading in your family and everything else, you don't need a payload exceeding 2,000 pounds. You know, I mean, you just don't need it. And there's a question of excess and also price. Heavy-duty trucks are way more expensive than half-ton trucks. That's an absolute truth. And even though you guys tend to think of us as billionaires, we're really not. And frankly speaking, it's expensive. It's really expensive to buy a heavy-duty truck and maintain it.
Yeah, on the previous episode, dude, we discussed that price of the vehicle is not the end, right? You have registration fees, which are quite high in Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
And it's based on the price of your vehicle. You have insurance. You have all this stuff. You have taxes. So just buying, you know, a $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 truck, it's not the end of it. You're going to be paying, you know, a lot on the other side of it as well. So all right, so we established this. I needed a bigger truck, right? And looking at heavy duties, I've been there, like we just said, right? I've been there. I had a Duramax. I really enjoyed that part of ownership. I had it for over 9 years. I mean, I had that truck for a long time. And I really, that kind of checked off my box, right? I checked it off my list. But what I never had owned, I've never owned a Ram truck before or a Toyota pickup truck before.
Right.
You've owned several Toyotas, I believe. I mean, at least one. You had a Tacoma.
Yeah, I had a Tacoma. Yeah. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it, except I didn't fit in it.
Well, once again, but this was an older Tacoma, right? So right. Once again, that Tacoma you had, I loved it too. We did several videos with your old Tacoma. But once again, it didn't have a crew cab. It didn't have a very big cab, and it was not big enough for your family at that point.
That was one of the main problems with it. That and honestly, just power, and there were a lot of minor issues with it. But the bottom line is that I could have kept it for another 10 years and probably been pretty happy with it, but my wife and my children would have probably done something horrible to me.
Exactly. And once again, that's important to us.
Yeah.
I've looked at Ram, right? And also what's in the back of my mind is that right now, truck companies, at least half-ton trucks, they are phasing out V8 engines, right? So, you know, Ram has just, you know, discontinued the 5.7 Hemi, right? And now all of their trucks basically are six-cylinder, either V6 or straight six Hurricane engines. Toyota did the same. Right, they got rid of their V8, and now they're doing, you know, twin turbo V6s in the brand new Tundras, and also hybrids. Right, so there's also a hybrid version, and also I didn't want to buy another Chevy or another Ford because I recently owned them. Right, so
you want to try something new?
Yeah, like a lot of people suggested that I would buy a 3-liter Duramax, right, a Silverado, right, or a Sierra. I would love to try a 3-liter Duramax for a long term. I think it would be an amazing thing. But I'm just coming out of a Chevrolet, right? So I wanted to try a new manufacturer. It would have had to be Ram or Toyota. So that was my thinking in my head.
Now, okay, so that was your thinking, but still we're talking about a used vehicle, A. And be one that is on a completely different platform than the current vehicles that are out there. So what made you want to choose this? Now, I know part of the answer to this, by the way. Do you want me to give it away a little bit?
Yeah, I want to hear it. Right. What do you think?
So about 2 years ago? Now it's a little less than two. Yeah, maybe. We did an episode on cheap Toyotas, which I cheated on. I cheated, technically. Roman made me cheat, but that's a whole different story. So what we did is we bought three relatively inexpensive Toyotas. We had a 4Runner, an older one. We had, of course, the Land Cruiser, which wasn't cheap. Well, by Land Cruiser standards, it was. And also, we had a Tundra. And Andre immediately leaped over the Tundra. And I think he leaped the door handle to make sure that nobody else would have access to the vehicle. Because despite the fact he beat the living daylights out of it, he fell in love with it. We Thank all you. Saw it. We could see it happening as it was being driven and beaten to a pulp. This truck was already heavily abused. I think it was a New Mexico vehicle.
It was.
And I think it was, and I think it was like used by some agriculture or something like that, because it just really had that look of a vehicle that had been beaten and just driven as a truck, working truck. And suddenly here's Andre treating it with kid gloves, except for when he takes it off road and bashes it. And first of all, it did really well. It was the most comfortable of all the trucks there by far. It smelled a little funky, but it was still, it was a truck that I was really surprised, because I could see his gears turning. I've known Andre now for well over a decade, and I think he was seriously considering buying it, but then backed out because he had already purchased a truck. He already had a vehicle, and he just didn't really feel like it would work. That's my guess, but I'm pretty sure I'm right on most of that.
Yeah, no, you're on the money. I mean, really, that Tundra had like what, 225,000 miles, I think.
Seriously, it was like so overdriven.
Yeah, well, but for Tundra, it may not have been a lot of miles. You know, for any pickup, half ton pickup, 225,000 may be a lot of miles, but maybe for Tundra, it may not be. So.
That was a really well used one on top of that. I don't think it was very well taken care of.
Remember the front bumper cover and the grill were barely hanging by a thread. Just
The whole thing, what you can move all of it with your hands, just like making it go up and down. And if I recall, the tires were in terrible shape. The underside had been beaten up a little bit, if I recall, on the front end. And the bed was really scratched up and dented, as if some heavy equipment had been put in there before. I think, wasn't the tailgate dented too?
Yeah, I think that the tailgate opened and closed, but it was also dented. Yes.
Yeah.
But it was only 10 grand. Remember, we purchased it for around 10,000 bucks. And that was the amazing stuff, part of it. And then did have the 5.7 V8, right? That was the big deal, because it's a big engine. But you know what Tundras are not known for? Is efficiency.
Economy.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I mean, that's why they went to a twin turbo V6 in the new Tundras, because the old V8, as good as it was, it drinks fuel. It loves fuel. It just uses a lot of it, no matter what. And so I had a choice. I was looking at a couple of Hemi-powered Rams, right? And I was looking at a couple V8-powered Tundras. Oh, I didn't say this yet. You asked me why used versus new, right?
Yeah.
And the one of the reasons is this. I'm using a money gesture. It was the cash, the money problem. And it's not really a problem. It's just, I wanted to trade in my Chevy Colorado, and I didn't want to pay too much over it to get my new truck, you know, to get another vehicle for me, because just didn't seem like the right time, just right now. So I wanted to find something within the, you know, $30,000 to $40,000 range. I wanted to stay in that range. And as you know,
right,
you cannot do it anymore for a brand new full-size truck. All the crew cabs now on sale right now in 2024, at the end of 2024, they start at what, like 50 grand for a crew cab?
Pretty much.
At least. And then, of course, you could go to $100,000 if you really wanted to, you know, for a lot of them.
Well, this is an issue many of our viewers and listeners talk about all the time, and we deal with it as well.
Yeah, exactly. And so I was in that same boat. So I was like, you know, I have a pickup truck. I don't want to invest another $30,000 or $40,000 into something new right now. So I wanted to stay within that $40,000 range for my new truck, which pushed me now in the used territory, right? It immediately pushed me into a used truck. So I was looking at the Hemi Rams and the V8 powered Tundras. And there's a lot to choose from, right? I mean, you could do a REM Rebel. You know, we've had one before at TFL Studios. You can do a Hemi-powered Rebel. You can get a Hemi-powered any RAM 1500. You could get almost any version of the Tundra, you know, with a V8. There's a lot of choice. But I was like, I've never owned a Toyota, and I was drawn to it, and I saw this army green one, right? So I saw on a used well, this Toyota dealership here locally, I saw an army green one. You remember that color, right? It was a really nice
Love
color.
that green.
It kind of pops in the sunlight, right? And it kind of is a little bit darker in, you know, in the shade or at night. It looks a little bit darker, and then it kind of pops, really pops in the sunlight when the sunlight hits it. So I went to see it with Roman. We just published a video about this, what, just about a week ago, just a little bit ago. So if you want to see our experience going to the dealership, you could watch that video on alltfl.com. We get there, dude, and this army green used Tundra is a 2021 with just 30,000 miles on it. It's barely, I thought it was barely used, right? I was looking at it online, but here's where it gets complicated. And this is what buying a used vehicle is all about, right? You have to see it in person. It was rusty. It was rusty. So even though it was on this dealership lot, it had certified used certified pre-owned warranty on it. The hitch was really rusty, visibly rusty, and structurally rusty. There's some surface rust on the frame. It came from Michigan. I looked at the Carfax, and I was like,
Oh,
oh,
you just said the magic word.
it came from the Midwest, and it came from
Yeah.
Michigan. And nothing, I don't want to say anything bad about Michigan because I love going to Detroit area. I love the Upper Peninsula, you know, I love all those areas. But there's salt, humidity, more salt. And this truck looked rough. You know, it looked rough from the standpoint of the rust, surface rust underneath. It also had the interior was not clean. You know, it was clean, somebody cleaned it, but it wasn't well. It didn't present really well. Like somebody really kind of abused this vehicle. So what am I supposed to do now?
You know, there are people who live in the Midwest who actually take care of their vehicles, and they'll spray the underside from time to time and clear out a lot of the replacement for mag chloride. I don't even know the name of it, but essentially the stuff that they're using, and that stuff does eat away at that metal still. And there's also a lot of other types of corrosive materials that can get on frames and everything else. But in addition, if the interior hasn't been well maintained, you have a pretty good idea that the owner probably didn't care too much about taking care of that vehicle. And that in itself is an issue.
Exactly. So, and also, obviously, the owner, previous owner wasn't there, right? Because it was in a used lot at the dealership, right? So I couldn't like talk to the owner, right? It wasn't an option in this case. But they had this Voodoo Blue 2019 Toyota Tundra, awesome color. You know, I remember testing this truck with you. You and Roman drove it. Also, Roman took it like I think in Moab. You drove it here in you know in Colorado. I drove it. I tested it. We know this truck very well because 5 years ago we tested the bejeebies out of it. Right? We really put it through its paces. All of us really liked it, with one exception, I think, because ground clearance has always been an issue. I think with a TRD Pro.
That was, I believe, its approach angle is not the best.
And also, remember, we all complained about the lack of rear locking differential, right?
Yep, that's correct.
And we also complained about fuel efficiency. We've done all this. And this particular one has a snorkel. What do you think about the snorkel?
I think it stands out a lot. It certainly is noticeable. I would say that it wouldn't be such an issue visually if you had other components hanging off of it, like, I don't know, a roof rack and, you know what I mean, like extra stuff. And more importantly, wheels and tires that would complement it and a lift. So I think your truck needs to go up about 2 more inches. I think you need feelies and larger tires, maybe a 37s, and then suddenly that snorkel doesn't look as comical.
I agree with you 100%. And this
Yeah.
was it was running through my mind when I was test driving this Tundra, because I test drove all of them. Actually, three trucks, three used Tundras that they had that day at the dealership. And you know what it looked like? It looked like somebody had a vision for this truck, and they started their vision, which was, like an overland build, right? Or something beefy. And they decided to put a snorkel. All right, this is a raised air intake, right? This is a whole tremendous controversy, because people equate the word snorkel with water, right?
Right.
And going through, I don't know, what, like 3 feet of water or 4 feet of water in this truck, please don't think of it that way. Because as I found out long ago in a Humvee, right? As I found out when I was, sinking in my tomb, which was a Humvee.
You became a U-boat commander.
Yes, other components struggle. Your fuse box is not waterproof usually in this factory truck. Your alternator gets underwater. That's bad. Your battery goes underwater. That's also bad. I mean, there's all these
Exposed
components.
wires in general, in order to waterproof a vehicle properly, takes a lot of work. And most production vehicles are nowhere near ready to be submerged. Bottom
Exactly.
line.
So look at this as a raised air intake. And why do you need it? I mean, I wouldn't put it on, but you could put it on if, like, you're in a dusty environment, right? If you're in the desert and you're driving, pretty fast and, using your truck, you want clean air, right? So you want to be try to get above the dust, above, some of the rocks and stuff like that. So that's why. So somebody had a vision. They started it, but they put this raised intake on it, and then they stopped, and then they sold it. And it looks weird, right?
It does look a little weird, but it's okay. Look, you have two hood scoops on your truck. Not one, but two.
And
So this is technically a third air intake, and out of the three that are there, only one is functional, which is awesome.
yeah.
I love the Tundra, and especially the old one. And the most important thing you have on that truck is the exhaust system. It's the TRD exhaust, right?
Yes. So, yeah.
Mwah! One of the best sounding exhausts ever. They tuned it beautifully. It sounds amazing. It's not too loud. It's deep. It's got a menacing sound to it. I think it's a fantastic exhaust system, just in terms of for the audiophiles out there.
Yeah. And that was, remember, I just said one of my complaints about the Colorado is that the power was good, but the experience of the engine was not good, because I didn't like the sound that the engine made. This is a whole different story. This, like you said, this TRD exhaust, which is a dual exhaust, right? It comes out on both sides, in the back of the truck.
Are they the ones that go right behind the rear tire on each
Yeah.
side? I
Yeah.
like that because it doesn't really encumber your departure angle, and you're not going to sandwich them that easily underneath the rear bumper like so many other dual exhaust outlets. And that I really like as well. It's such a trade-off because you have a truck that has a really good powertrain, one that's rock solid, but you have open diffs, but you have what I consider to be one of the easier trucks to drive in that class. They're just a breeze to live with, but it doesn't have the height or anything else in terms of being a hardcore off-roader, but it's not that hard to convert it to something like that. So it's an
Exactly.
interesting trade-off that you made. I love the fact that you got this thing, and the color is outstanding, by the way.
Yeah, and actually, everybody in the office loved it. So I brought it here to our headquarters office in Boulder, and Zach came out. He loved the color, and Alex and Case and the rest of the team, Tommy and Roman. So, and then my son loved the color too. So
Well, there it is.
I brought it home. My daughter likes it. My wife, my son liked it. Good points all the way around. And then my son and my daughter and my wife—they're they opened the rear doors and they saw this space in this truck and in the cabin room and the humongous seats. And they're like, finally, now we can go to Albuquerque and really relax, and really kind of have a road trip in this vehicle. So
Now I'm looking at the picture. Just real quick. It looks like you have regular mirrors on there. They don't look like tow mirrors to me.
no, does not have tow mirrors. And you know what? The older Tundras never had really purpose-built tow mirrors.
No, I've only seen them aftermarket.
Yeah, you could do them aftermarket, and that's the difference. The new Tundra, the new generation, has really, well-designed mirrors
I
for
think so too,
towing.
yeah.
They're extendable. But this mirror, sorry, and I'm pointing here to the image, they're kind of long. So they're actually not too bad as far as seeing behind you while pulling a trailer. And of course, if I need something bigger, I could probably install some bigger mirrors. But here's two other things that kind of sold me on this. Very little rust, okay? Maybe three things. Very little rust. This truck has, when I purchased it had almost 79,000 miles on it, which is a little bit high, right? I mean, thinking about a, a 5-year-old vehicle, I mean, it's not that high, but it's a little bit, high. But the paint looks amazing. It looks like somebody took care of it. Then I look at the Carfax report. It's listed as technically a two-owner vehicle, but it spent basically all of its life near Plano, Texas. What's in Plano, Texas? Near Dallas, it's Toyota headquarters, right? This is where North American Toyota is. So I was like, so maybe, and it was also leased. Most of its life, it was under lease. So I was like, what?
Very, very possibly could have been owned by a Toyota worker.
Maybe a Toyota employee had it. And maybe we'll find out. Maybe somebody will comment right now and say, oh, you bought my truck. What's going on? So that gave me a positive thing because that tells me that they probably cared about this vehicle, right? And it was really, a good owner. And then I climbed underneath it. Something, Mr. Truck taught us, right? He
Oh,
told
yeah.
us, always climb underneath your trucks as soon as you can. It has not a single scratch on the skid plate, right? If I crawled under it, and we've seen those skid plates, with gashes and marks and scratches
Dance.
and dents, you could see it really clearly. This one has zero scratches, zero dents on the skid plates. So I was like, well, maybe nobody really bashed this truck. I mean, it didn't look, like it off-roaded much, if at all. So it looked pretty clean. Of course, it's not perfect. The seats are a little almost polished. It has leather seats, but they're kind of slippery. It looks like,
I know what you're talking about,
somebody spent a lot of time in these seats already.
but they're like big sofa seats too, right?
Yeah, and there's not a lot of bolstering, on the side of it. So you're kind of like moving, it's like a couch, you're kind of moving around on it.
Right.
But looking at the Carfax report, looking at the condition of the paint and also the underneath of the truck, where it was from, and they don't do a lot of, salt on those roads or anything like that, right, in Texas. I signed the check, I signed on it. So that's kind of where I was on that purchase.
Okay, so let me ask you, and this is the most important question of all. When you park it, when you're walking away at a parking lot, do you turn around, look at it, and smile?
Yes. But
There's nothing else to say.
There's an asterisk. There is a caveat. Okay. The asterisk is, first of all, the tires on this truck are stock size and they're also worn. It has 80,000 miles. Maybe they were replaced once. I don't know. But they're too small. The wheels and tires just look too small. I know they're factory sized. I know Toyota does this. I know they tested like this and designed it like this. But it just looks odd, especially with that snorkel. You know, it looks like a guy who went to the gym, but he forgot to work out his legs. He skipped leg day, right? I mean, he's got big shoulders, you know, really, really tough, but he's got these chicken legs, you know, like these chicken legs underneath him. So,
The good visual too. Thank you, Andre. So that's your first step then, is probably replacing the tires and wheels. Am I correct?
yeah, and also they're a little bit worn, so that's another thing, right? So not just they're too small, but they've been kind of used up. And I used it a little bit for negotiating, right? I was at the dealership, you know, I was trying to flex my muscles also. I'm trying to get the best price. I walked out with paying around $11,000 extra. So when I traded in my Chevy Colorado to the same dealer and got this Tundra, I had to pay about 11 grand. So which means this truck was about 43. I'm talking about after taxes too, right? It's not just the price of the difference, but also with tax. And I saved some tax money, right? Because I didn't pay tax on $43,000 on this truck. I paid tax on $10,000 on this truck,
I
right?
got you.
So that was a huge benefit for me as well, as far as taxes are concerned. So those were the items, but I think I need bigger tires. And thankfully, there's so many Toyota shops nearby, right? This.
Well, I know we got our friends over at Toy Tech and every, I mean, there's a ton of,
So
there's so many options. And then, of course, there's a question of suspension, because if you're going to go bigger wheels and tires, you're going to beef up that suspension a little bit. I know you're doing that now, that face. I know that face. But I recall, not that long ago, when someone had to do a couple things with their Ford F-150 in order to make it all work out. And this truck begs for it, and it actually needs the tires as opposed to something that you need. It needs it.
You're referring to the fact that I did a leveling kit on my F-150 before, and I
Yeah.
put 34s on it. Yes,
Right.
you are absolutely right. At first, I want to talk to the experts, right? I don't want to completely gut the suspension system on this thing because it's already a good suspension system, right?
I agree.
It's got Fox shocks. These particular ones don't seem like they're leaking anything. They seem to be in good shape, and I don't want to rip those out and, you know, spend a bunch of money, which my wife may or may not allow me to do on this vehicle. And it's also already level. You know, Toyota, you know, Ford, you know, the rear ends are always higher.
Yeah, the like an animal in heat is
Yeah,
what some
that's what
people have
Mr.
described
Truck,
it as.
yeah, that's what Mr. Truck would say.
Yes.
Doing a leveling kit on a Ford works really well because it kind of becomes a little bit more level if you're not
Yeah.
towing, and you're not towing all the time, right? And then you can put bigger tires on it because now you've gained a little bit of height. And
Right.
you can do this now because rubbing, you know, especially turning the steering wheel, right? What happens is if the tire is much wider than factory, you're gonna start rubbing. There's a lot going on here. It's not just the height of the tire, it's also the width of it and the offset of the wheel, you know, how it, you know, matches with the whole suspension system and the fenders. So there's a lot going on. So I do want to talk to an expert, right? And
Yeah.
I actually have seen a few trucks at SEMA, you know, Tundras, over the years. So there's a lot of options, you know, a lot of options for this. I do want to do something, but I don't want to take away, because it's mostly stock right now, right? I don't want to completely gut it, change it into something that I may not be able to resell very easily, you know, in the future. So
Right.
I want to be kind of careful.
Before we wrap up, I think some viewers will probably ask, why won't you remove the snorkel?
Okay, so I'm not sure. Maybe I need some a professional opinion on this as well. Remember, we had the Land Cruiser 200 series at TFL. It was that white truck that we built. We called it TFL Pro, not TRD Pro, because we did lift it. Roman put a snorkel on it. Remember? But I wasn't there that day when they were installing the snorkel. So what it looks like to me, obviously there's a hole in the fender, right? Three holes?
At least.
Were you there?
Yeah, because remember you have the mounting brackets too.
Okay.
So there's going to be, it depends on the snorkel and the truck, but you have like two bolts that'll go in and then the large hole for the actual air to go through into the box. So yeah, technically it's three or it could be more.
Yeah. And so, okay. Then I was talking to another dude who said, you know, Voodoo Blue is a very hard color to match, right? Because this color is special. It's also 5 years old. So it probably does have a little bit of, you know, sun wear on it, weathering, even though it looks amazing right now. If you replace a component like a fender or maybe a patch panel, it would look weird because it's really hard to match that paint. Also, I could just put a black insert plug. You know, it could be like a utilitarian, right? I may not want to repaint that. That's fine. But it kind of looks like it's almost like got this seam around it where it's mounted to the fender, which is almost like glue. So I don't know, dude.
They may have had like a foam, little thing going around it, a squishy foam. They actually put some adhesive on top of that. I guarantee you it's not just adhesive holding it on, but it may be part of the whole package. And that's probably a TRD component. I mean, it looks like it is.
Well, it's got a Safari brand. So it's not a Toyota brand, right? So
okay, so that actually might make it even more difficult to remove.
But it's meant for this truck, right? You know, the Safari component was actually designed for the Tundra, right? So, but it's not a component that was tested by Toyota, right? It's not
kind of my point. And so, so in addition, there could be even more scarring if you remove it. So I think the bottom line here is that Andre would probably prefer not to have to yank that thing off there and find another way to make it a little bit more aesthetically pleasing. But here's the good news. Let's say you go through and do splash into some really deep water, which, hey, Colorado has that when you're on trails. Less of a chance of you getting any of that fluid into the intake, which is one of the reasons why you have that thing up there. So, yeah, okay, fording a 3 foot, 4 foot deep pond, not a great idea, but occasionally having to splash through something, this will help. And yeah, with dust, it does help a little bit. Are you able to move that, the upper section of the snorkel, the inlet? Are you able to move that backwards?
Yeah, I can. It's just a very simple, like a round clamp, right?
Uh-huh.
So you can loosen this clamp and then you could turn that component. So I could try it. When my dad saw this truck, he was worried about like wind noise, right? He asked me, what about wind noise when you're driving down the highway? And actually the wind noise, I've been driving this way with the air intake pointing forward, and I haven't noticed a big difference. So I think it's well designed. The snorkel component is well designed, so it's not, you know, it's not very noisy, at least from my driver's standpoint. You know, because it's on the
path. That's all it really matters. Who cares about the passengers?
Yeah, it's a family truck.
No, right?
We're kidding. Yeah, I might ask about removing that. Like, let's say what our friend Hugo from ToyTech might tell me.
I would definitely talk to Hugo.
So, and also talk about, I've already been on forums, you know, Tundra forums, and I've seen the biggest tire you could put on this truck without modifying the suspension.
35.
I know this. You could increase the tire by like an inch and a half, but that's not a huge increase. It has a 32-inch tall tire right now. Going to like a 33 and a half, it's not actually that big. Now it's another dilemma, right? Of course. So constant dilemmas.
Yes, but even though you're acting like it's a really sad, horrible situation to be in, poor Andre, it's so much fun modifying trucks and having to go at some new components, and especially trying something new on a vehicle that you haven't had before and imagining all the things you could do. This is one of the reasons why pickup trucks, midsize, and, you know, full-size trucks are some of the most customized vehicles on the planet, because there's almost an open canvas there for you to mess with. And you now have that ability more so, I think, than you did with the Chevy, because with the Chevy, that was a very new truck and there was only a few things you could really do with it. This one, it's an older truck. It's been around for a long time. A lot of parts, a lot of people out there who've done things with these. More people can help you. So I think that you're going to have a better time with this one. That's my own personal opinion.
Yeah, I think you nailed it once again. And the other thing I love, we mentioned it already, is the sound of the engine.
Yes.
The exhaust system is in good shape. It's all stock. It sounds really great. And that's another thing in during this purchase. A lot of people wanted me to buy a Hurricane powered Ram. And actually, Ram 1500, some of them have huge discounts right now, right? If you actually look a little bit harder, you could see, like, we did a story on this recently, $15,000 off a brand new Ram 1500 Hurricane, right? So that takes that price from about 65 down to like 50. But like I said, I had like this limit about low 40s, 40, or I ended up paying 43 for this truck. But that was one of my requirements. And another one, a lot of manufacturers are removing V8s. And I wanted, really wanted. I have never had a gas V8 truck before. I had a diesel truck. I had a twin turbo truck. My hybrid F-150, right?
And then you had that four-cylinder.
I had a four cylinder. So I've done a lot of it, but I've never had a V8 powered truck personally. And for gasoline, gas V8 powered truck. So this 5.7, I think, was one of my last hurrahs, so to say, with this V8. And I'm not a fan of getting 15 mpg. I'm averaging
Yeah.
15, so that's
Will it
another.
run on regular unleaded without a problem?
Yeah, it doesn't need premium, so
Good.
it doesn't really need premium. And I'm not going to run a lot of premium through this truck because it's just a lumpy V8 that just kind of goes at 2000 rpm for the most part. So I am excited. I am smiling. If you're not watching this, I am pretty happy because the family loves it. The guys here, it looks like you love it too.
Yeah, I think those trucks are amazing. I honestly, truly always wanted a Tundra, the first generation Tundra. And I even looked at its baby brother, technically, or its grandfather, I should say, which is the T100. So the fact that you got one of these, I'm just over the moon about, because then I'll be able to get my hands on one when I come out there to visit. I'll be like, give me the keys. And you'll be, of course, and let me bounce it off road.
I'll pick you up at the airport in this voodoo blue truck. Everybody's gonna look at
Yeah.
it, and then we can head out towards the mountains. It's gonna be really amazing. And also the other, I think, element of this story is when you see Motorman next, I think
Very
you're
soon.
gonna see Mr. Motorman soon in Los Angeles. He has a hangar, right, at this airport.
Yes.
And there is a TRD Pro, new one, that always goes around that airport.
It's one of his friends, and he borrows it often
Yes.
to pick up useless furniture. And when it's not around, he actually has borrowed my Expedition, which
Wow.
of course it's difficult because when he gets in and he starts making this really nasty face, like, how dare I get into this? But that's a different story. But yes, he drives that other one, and he loves it. He absolutely loves that
Well,
Tundra.
now I can tell, and please tell him for me when you see him next,
I will.
that now I have a TRD Pro also. So he cannot show off his TRD Pro anymore. So you can tell him this.
Not only that, but I think he'll approve of the fact that you have the old school powertrain, which he's familiar with, by the way. So it should be interesting. I will
Yeah,
mention that to
so.
him, and I will be seeing him shortly.
All righty, yeah. So that's my story. I know we dedicated. It was a little self-centered this episode, but
Perhaps, but the other side of it is that we have viewers who are curious about the vehicles we buy because they're going to follow us along this journey of ownership, just like they did with your Chevy, just like they did with your Ford. And discovering what it is and why you bought a used vehicle and what it takes to keep this thing going for the next two, five, however long you're going to keep it, however long your wife allows you to keep it. You know, these things are important to our viewers. As such, being detailed about your reasons, I don't think it's considered self-centered at all.
Yeah.
I think that you were logical about this.
Well, yeah, of course, we appreciate you guys listening to this and watching our shows.
Yes.
Once again, we have 8 channels at TFL Studios. So alltfl.com is, you can go to one place. You can check everything out in one location. Also, patreon.com/TFLcar is our Patreon site where you can support us. And also, a lot of you do. We really appreciate it. And we also put early look videos there. So actually, we're doing this podcast, Nathan, but our Patreon supporters have already seen this truck like a week prior. So if you want to know early stuff, that's where you go. You go to Patreon.
Guys, thank you again for your support. Without it, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing.
Yeah, I wouldn't have $11,000 to pay. I'm not saying that I'm using Patreon money. This is my own money, but TFL pays me, right? I do work here. And without your ongoing, you know, viewership and you guys listening to our podcasts, this wouldn't be possible. So that's great.
Thank you guys once again. All right, Andre. Well, I'm super happy for you. I think that's an awesome purchase. I was not expecting it. I honestly thought you were going to get a Hurricane Ram. I just thought that's exactly what you were going to get. And I felt that you would probably would have purchased that or possibly a Ram Classic, like, say, a Rebel or something like that. I kind of felt like you were going that direction.
I was looking at a used V8 Warlock, you know, those classic trucks. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was also looking at that. Yeah. Well, I mean, this is what happened. So I'm now within the Toyota group. You know, I've been in other groups. Now I'm inside.
All the haters are going to jump on the wagon, dude. You're in trouble. And you know what this means? I'll tell you what this means. One of us is going to have to buy a used Titan.
Ah. Well, I know. Well, you've been a fan of Titans before.
I certainly have. I don't really have a need for one right now. I mean, my Ford is doing just fine. But honestly, they're probably relatively well priced. I'll tell you what. Our cameraman, Cole, he needs a new car. And I think it should be a truck. Let that little guy know.
I'll talk to Cole. Yeah, I'll talk to him.
Okay, there it is.
Oh, that way Cole and I can drag race. You know, I have the Tundra.
Now you're thinking. Yes. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys.
Anyways.
Okay. Well, hey. It was great joining you again. I'm looking forward to doing it in the future. Guys, there's a whole bunch available on alltfl.com for you to check out. I highly recommend you do so.
All right. Really appreciate it, guys. And we'll see you next time. Have a great weekend and the week. See you soon.
Sayonara.
Picture this. You're in the garage, hands covered in grease, just finished tuning up your engine with a part you found on eBay, and you realize, you know what? I could also use new brakes. So where do you go next? Back to eBay. You can find anything there. It's unreal. Wipers, headlights, even cold air intakes, it's all there. And you've got eBay Guaranteed Fit. You order a part, and if it doesn't fit, send it back. Simple as that. Look, DIY fixes can be major. Doesn't matter if it's just maintenance or a major mod. You got it. Especially when things are guaranteed to fit. So when you dive into your next car project, start with eBay. All the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things people love.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.